Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Attend your word this morning, Father. We pray in Jesus' name that it would accomplish your purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name again, amen. Please be seated. Perceptions, that is, our perceptions, don't always correspond to reality, do they? It's because our minds like to fill in the gaps that our perceptions have. Of course, mostly we perceive things with our five senses, sight and hearing especially, but also with touch. And oftentimes there's gaps in what our perceptions perceive. And when there are those gaps, our mind can fill in those gaps. And oftentimes it'll fill in those gaps incorrectly. And that's why optical illusions are optical illusions, and they're fun. And I saw a picture yesterday, for example, of a duck. Or was it a rabbit? Well, just depends on what your brain saw at the moment you looked at it. And I stared at it a minute, and it was a rabbit. And then another minute, it was a duck. And, well, optical illusions. Perceptions can change. Magicians sometimes use this distinction between reality and perception to play tricks on our brain and make us think we see something we didn't, or make us think we didn't see something that we did. And it's great fun when it comes to entertainment. But when it comes to our spiritual life, well, and even you know, our normal lives, the rest of our lives, when we're not just doing things for fun, we really want our thoughts to correspond to reality, don't we? Especially when you come to a stoplight. I mean, you want to see the traffic that is coming, and you want to perceive what reality really is, so you don't, you know, pull out in front of a truck or something. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. We want our thoughts about God and our thoughts about ourselves to correspond to reality. The way to do that, of course, is to base our thinking upon the Word of God. And so with that in mind, let's turn, shall we, to our little passage for this morning, our Bible passage, which is found in Psalm 91, verses 1 to 6. And here's what we read. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now, let me stop for just a second. Secret place? What is the secret place of God? Well, let's change that word to another word that would be just as good, and that's hidden, a hidden place. Let's just say what it means. So what it means is a place that is hidden from calamity, hidden from storms that might come along. He's actually, when we go along here, you'll see he's going to picture a hen and the chicks under her wings, and the hen hides them there in a safe place. That's what he means. It's a safe place. So let's go on. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. These passages written by the psalmist are reality. They are truth, absolute truth. Who is it then that dwells in the shadow of the Almighty? Well, at the time this was written, that would be the Old Testament believers, those who believed in the true God as opposed to the false gods of the nations around them, and also who were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. But in our day, of course, it's New Testament believers. Well, that's you and me, those who believe in the true God today, that he is our God because of the shed blood of Jesus. It's talking about you and me. That's what it is. So let me ask you something. Does your perception of reality line up with the truth? Line up with what really is reality? Let me ask another question to elaborate on that. How much joy, how much contentment, how much more peace would you experience in your life if you really believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is true? That you do abide in the shadow. Think about it, in the shadow of the Almighty. Think about a hen with her chicks under her wings. And that's what this is sort of picturing. And if you've ever seen that, probably some of you haven't, but I've seen it many times. And those chicks stay under that hen. When they're new, now as they get older, they begin to branch out. But while they're under that hen, she will spread her arms. I guess they're not arms, are they, on a chicken? But they are. They're one of these parts right here of whatever that is. They're wings. She spreads them out like this, and the chicks, that's where they hang around, and they are protected there. If you walk closely, that hen will puff up her feathers and she will be ready to attack you. And she will attack you if you get close enough. She is protecting those chicks. Now imagine if you really believed God was doing that for you. How much less worry would you have? How much less anxiety would you have in your life? It is a true statement. Believe it or not, it's true that you and I abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, I'll be honest with you, sometimes my perception of reality doesn't line up with what really is reality. My guess is you are that way too sometimes, maybe more often than you wish. And why might that be? Why might it be that we have God's personal promise, his promise of his personal concern for you and me, that he's watching over us? And that's what this really is. It's saying that we have his personal concern. And yet we feel anxious and worried as if sometimes we have no God at all who's looking out for us. I think there are several reasons, and I want to just mention a couple of them, but there's probably a lot of reasons. But these two just popped into my mind. And the first one is this, is that, like mentioned before, our minds have a tendency to fill in the blanks of our perception. Especially for things, what I mean is things we cannot see. Our minds tend to fill in those gaps. Gaps in our relationships, in our life, things about the future. Our mind tends to fill in what we cannot see, and it tends to fill them in with what ifs, doesn't it? Mine does that, doesn't yours? And before you know it, you begin thinking, well, what about this? What if this is going to happen? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? And pretty soon, we're worried about things that will never come to pass. You ever done that? I've done that a lot of times, right? And tied in with that is the propensity, and this is the second thing, the propensity that our sinful flesh, our mind, let's just say our mind, has a built-in propensity because of our sinful nature that when the devil comes and he whispers in our ear, we can take situations that we do understand, things that we do see, and we see them pretty clearly, but he can take those things and twist them and imbue them with a meaning they really don't have. How many times have you snapped at somebody because you thought they said something or they meant something when they said something and they didn't mean that at all? Right? Has that happened to you? It's happened to me. And things can become, as the devil whispers in our ear, things can become little gods for us. He can say, these things are important and you're going to miss out on them. Things like money, things like friends, or things like good looks. I sort of passed that one by years ago. Popularity. He tells us things are important that are not important. And we can believe it, can't we? And the problem with those gods is that their yoke is not easy and their burden is heavy. So the devil says to us, well, whatever he says to you, you've got your own things that he comes commonly and whispers in your ear, things that you succumb to, and I have the things that I succumb to. And I'll tell you what, between the devil and our own sinful flesh, creating what ifs, we can live in fear and anxiety. And what is even worse is that when we do this, we insult God. Because we have his promise, don't we? We have his promise. And here's the amazing thing about God, though, is that he doesn't hold grudges. He has no sinful pride that causes him to hold grudges against us. So you've doubted him a million times, and so have I, except I'm older, so it's probably 10 million times with me. But he has no sinful pride. He looked into the future and he saw every time that you would doubt him, every time you would fall into the same sin over and over again, regardless of what that sin is, and he still looked into the future and said, I want you. I want you to be mine. I want you to live with me in heaven forever. And to make that a reality, he sent his son. Sent his son to bleed his blood and wash away those sins. And that's what he did. Every single one of them. There is no sin any longer on your record. And so heaven is taken, our greatest need is taken care of. But then what about now, right? What's the answer when we have this discrepancy between our perceptions and the reality of his promises and a perception in our own heart of worry and anxiety? I'd like to mention a couple of things. First, go to his word, right? That's where his promises are. And read them again. Read the truth and fill your mind with the truth because you are covered by his protecting care. He will cover you with his feathers and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness, notice that passage right there. We just read it a minute ago. His faithfulness will be your rampart and your shield. His faithfulness, not yours. It doesn't depend on how faithful you are. His faithfulness. And he is faithful. He's never broken a promise yet. He's not going to start with you. So remember, you are in the shadow of the Almighty. And then secondly, after you read it, say it. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. There is a reason that we confess the creed. There's a reason we sing our hymns out loud and confess our faith. And we speak our psalms responsively out loud together. There's a reason for that, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as you do, you will strengthen your faith. Or rather, the Holy Spirit will strengthen your faith. And he will change your outlook. So perceptions don't always correspond to reality. But God's care for you, even in your trials, and your perception tells you otherwise. His care for you is reality. He promised it. You can believe it. And the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Would you please bow your head with me? Lord God, out of your gracious goodness, you have been mindful of us sinners. And have given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. We pray that now you would grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd knows us and helps us in every affliction, that we also may know him, and trusting in him, seek his help and comfort from him. In our hearts, obey his voice, and in the end, obtain eternal salvation. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.